Right now, let's go out to David Burstein. As I said, he is the CEO and co-founder of Run for America. David, thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you.
So you are saying that the millennials are going to be particularly hard hit, or were hard hit by all that's going on with the healthcare initiatives?
Well, look, you know, one of the big problems here is that, you know, this you know, why the challenges in this law exist is that, you know, millennials, who of course have a popular provision that everyone so far has agreed on to keep people on their parents' health insurance until they turn 30, but you know, young millennials who are wanting to buy in the exchange, you know, they're often known as the young invincibles. They don't think they need to buy health insurance. You know, they can just walk into an urgent care clinic if they need help. And the fact that not enough of them had signed up, you remember, you know, President Obama, then President Obama, went on, you know, Between Two Ferns and all these talk shows to promote people signing up, because key to the premium balance is actually having young people sign up for the low cost plans to then offset the costs for older folks. So that's kind of, you know, why we're in the mess we're in, and we'll see what actually happens. But, you know, suffice it to say, you know, young people, particularly when you look at the positions on issues like sexual assault, which we know affects young people disproportionately to any other age group, which is now considered a pre-existing condition, all of the, you know, young women are going to be hit particularly hard by the provisions on Planned Parenthood.
Okay, well, I'm going to slow you down. Wait. Let's slow this down. So your first point, I'm talking to David, this is a complicated issue. I want to really kind of parse it out. David Burstein, again, founder of Run for America. We're talking about millennials and how they're affected by the healthcare situation generally, not just what's happening presently, but what has happened in terms of our management of our healthcare resources. And you pointed out appropriately that the young and well were going to pay for the sick and old, right? That's the fundamental sort of principle upon which the entire thing swings.
Yeah.
Well, it's right. And that's flawed, right? That's not going to happen. People, when they're unmotivated and unwilling and see nothing in it for them, they don't do it. They don't do it. And so I had people that one of the crazy scams on healthcare is that people would sign up when they got sick. That was the other thing. They would game the system. So the system was just, it had flawed a million ways. We had to work on this thing. So I understand some stuff needed to be done. Now you're saying the kinds of pre-existing conditions that are being included as a pre-existing condition, so-called, are going to hit millennials harder, or sort of, I didn't quite get that piece. What are you saying about, for instance, sexual assault as a pre-existing condition? And then, let me ask you a corollary to that, which is that throws the individual into a risk pool where they have to pay more for their insurance, right? That's really what that does. So let's talk about that, because people don't quite get that. So you first tell me why it's a disproportionate burden of the young and healthy. And secondly, so you get thrown in a different risk pool. That's insurance. So buy catastrophic insurance. Don't buy an entitlement. No?
Right. Well, so there are two things on that. One, you know, pre the introduction of the Affordable Care Act, you know, most estimates suggest about, you know, 26% of people who were sort of in the millennial age group under 30 were without health coverage. Post ACA, that number is down to 16. So a significant increase in terms of coverage, but still, you know, a not insignificant number of people who don't have.
Is that in California? Does that apply in California? I can't believe it.
Those are national statistics.
I bet California is not. I'm going to predict. I don't know the data, but I'm pretty sure California was essentially didn't move the dial. That's just what it feels like
here. So the problem with the pre-existing conditions and these risk pools, and again, you know, we first of all, we don't know if this bill is actually going to pass the Senate or what's going to get changed. You know,
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to interrupt you. Right. Yeah, I'm interrupting you. We don't know anything. Bottom line, we're just sort of talking theoretically here. We don't know what this thing is. We don't know what's going to happen with it. We don't know anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of concern. There are a lot of different concerns about these high risk pools because, for instance, you know, and again, because this has just been kind of created, there hasn't been the proper time for everybody to understand that different states, you know, can handle these pools differently. And the sort of assumption is that not a lot of the high risk pools will match, you know, the current protections for pre-existing conditions, you know, under Obamacare, right?
All right, let's stop. Because people, I don't think, understand what we're even talking about when we say risk pool. So I want you to tell people what that means, number one. And number two, You're right. It's not going to. It's not. Right. I mean, it's sort of set up not to, but it's also set up to give people coverage, just not the same coverage. But go ahead.
Right. So you know, the way that these risk pools are supposed to work is they're state based, and they would the latest version of the bill put $8 billion over 5 years to support these pools, where people could effectively go into these pools if they have pre-existing conditions. And some states might apply for waivers. Some states might have different conditions. We don't know how each of these pools would necessarily work. It would basically be up to each state to design the pool themselves and design the rules for it, which obviously we saw what happened with Medicaid expansion. Every state will probably take a different tack based on its political leanings.